What up, well, welcome to another episode of the Brand Janu Show. As you know, I am Brand Janu, and like always on all podcast platforms, Brand Janu Show, social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook, Brand Janu Show. And of course, YouTube channel, Brand Janu Show. You go subscribe, comment, like. I do comment back. Just do not have any crazy ass comments, because I am not about to go back and forth with anyone. But if you guys enjoy this, man, let's get into it, man. This is I Bleed Sports. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's go time. I'm enjoying this, man. This is going to be fun. So usually I start off with other sports, and then I get to the football. But I can't do that this time, because football just had the NFL draft. And the NFL draft was this past Thursday, all the way Friday, Saturday, and I was in Vegas. My brother Juan, shout out to Juan, who just did the Raiders draft show. I'll be doing I Bleed Black and Gold after this. So stay tuned for that. I'll be talking about our draft picks, the New Orleans Saints draft picks, but this year's NFL draft was pretty damn good. I'm not gonna lie. Some teams did some really good drafts and some shit drafts. That's usually a discrepancy, you know, in these NFL drafts. You can easily tell who fucked up and who didn't. Like, and it's kind of hard this draft, because I feel like a lot of teams kind of got pieces that were good. In a glaring missteps, you can see, like, oh shit, that was a bad pick. So here's my teams. To me, these are my draft grades for this season. My teams that I feel like probably had the best draft, the perfect drafts. Number one with a bullet is the Philadelphia Eagles. I told my brother Wine the whole time we were watching the draft, the Eagles should be banned from drafting players. The Eagles should be banned from the draft. These sons of bitches. Yes, it's a lot of the draft going to functioning the way it functions, but also there are certain things about the draft that should not fucking happen. And Quinion Mitchell getting drafted in the first round, number 22 overall, to the Philadelphia Eagles is the most fucked up thing I've ever seen in my life. I was like, the NFL should step in and get these niggas tampering charges right the fuck now. There is no way in hell the Eagles should have ended up with Quinion Mitchell. I'm sorry. Quinion Mitchell is a Philadelphia Eagle. Probably it was between him and Nate Wiggins, as who is and Teron Arnold, if you want to put Teron Arnold in there as well, who is the number one cornerback of this draft. And Quinion Mitchell, to me, I took away Nate Wiggins and Teron Arnold before him when I did my mock draft show with my brother Juan, because I thought he would fall to Detroit, which stay tuned for them. But getting them at 22, not having to move up, not having to move down, getting them at 22 in the first round, and how the draft shaped out, for him to fall that far, fuck, man. Like, there's no way in hell, bro. Like, yo, Philly must have some really great football gods. Like, they just must have the best football gods on the planet. There is no way in hell Quinion Mitchell should have fell to the 22nd pick overall. No way in hell. Get the fuck out of here with that. There is no way in hell that should have happened. But he fell to the 22nd pick overall in the draft. Watching that, I'm like, God damn, that's an A+. The secondary of the Eagles got criticized so much last year for how they just did not play. They were very slow on the back end. It was bad. It was a very bad thing. Now you probably get the best cornerback in the draft, the one of the best cover corners in the fucking draft. The way the man plays is fucking phenomenal. And you think it couldn't get any worse for the NFL, and just absolutely fucking great for the Eagles. With the number 48 overall selection in the 2024 NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Cooper DeJean, cornerback from fucking Iowa. You're like, you gotta be motherfucking kidding me. It was like, yo, if Quinyon Mitchell is number one with a bullet as a cornerback, Cooper DeJean is literally in the top two or three also with the cornerback conversation. It is like you can literally have him or Teron on the battling for three. It was like, yo, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Cooper DeJean falls to the second round and the Eagles get him. And now the man could play all types of positions in the secondary. He could play corner and he could play safety. Also, you're getting Gardner Johnson back in Philly. Come on, bro. Like, there's certain things about Philadelphia that should have never happened. That's one of those things. You just be like, fuck out of here. Fuck out of here. You look at that shit and be like, nigga, fuck out of here. That is no, it should have ha not happened. Philly ended up with two cornerbacks, fixed their secondary, and two picks. Two fucking picks. They fixed their secondary. It was like, you gotta be kidding me. They finished it off one of the Will Shipley from Clemson, the running back that could kind of play as a catch receiver. They also ended up with Johnny Wilson from Florida State, the big wide receiver. Now you have now with AJ Brown and DeVonta Smith, now you have another. Now you can put DeVonta Smith in the slot or AJ Brown in the slot and have Johnny Wilson be the outside receiver. It's just like, bro, there's certain things about the Eagles that shouldn't have happened. They shouldn't have ended up with these players. And somehow, some way, they ended up with those motherfucking players. The Eagles had the best draft. I've never I, like them, and then Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh probably had the best draft I've seen that literally fixed their problems. Your offensive line has sucked for years. Has sucked. Guess what you do? You go get the kid from Washington. You bring him in. Instantly fix your offensive guard. The interior of your line, offensive line. Boom, fixed it. Then, next round, what you do? You draft one of probably the second best center in the draft. It's debatable between maybe the third, because, Graham Barnett from Duke. Third, fourth best center in the draft. It's debatable between him and Jackson Power Johnson, who my brother Juan's team, the Raiders took from Oregon. But you bring in Zach Frazier from West Virginia, and you just like, so you now got your guard, your starting guard, and now your center. And I think they also drafted like a, I can't remember, like a tackle or another guard. You just look at Pittsburgh and be like, what the fuck? They also drafted a receiver. It was like, yo, this shit is getting bad. Like you just said, like, yo, Pittsburgh figured it out. Like, how the fuck did that happen? It was the best draft I've seen Pittsburgh have in some years. Like, they hit on offensive pieces. They always hit on receivers, but they don't hit on too many offensive pieces outside of receiver. There's no excuse for Russell Wilson to start the season and have a good season. And there's really no excuse if they do decide to switch it up and go to Justin Fields at some point during the season. This is the best offensive line they're probably going to have in some years, with also the addition of Broderick Jones last year from Georgia. This is a really good fucking offensive line. And if these three rookies come in and play their ass off, yo, Pittsburgh might have the best offensive line in the fucking league. And it's a quick jump up. It's not even like a maybe. That's a fucking jump up. Like, they exponentially fire, like, go up to the NFC North Tower. And you can't stop it. You can't fucking stop it. It's like, oh my God, yo, that was. Nah, bro. Yo, Pennsylvania did their thing in the draft. Speaking of the AFC North, Baltimore. That's another team should be banned from the draft. That is ridiculous. They ended up getting Nate Wiggins, who I had with my first cornerback taken off the board. They ended up getting Nate Wiggins. They brought him in from Clemson with the 30th fucking pick. Like, what the? People talk about Quinion Mitchell falling to 22. Can we talk about how Nate Wiggins fell to fucking 30? Like, what the fuck were y'all looking at? Nate Wiggins just fell to 30. Like, nigga, what? What? Oh my God, that was like a slap in the face. Like, what the fuck are y'all looking at? Like, oh my God, he falls to 30. They ended up also getting TJ Tampa, who to a lot of people was like, what, the fifth, sixth best cornerback in the draft. They drafted him late. They also drafted Tarius Walker from North Carolina. The amazing receiver who didn't really get a chance to play a lot last year because he was dealing with a lot of restrictions because of the transfer portal, but the man can fucking fly. Now you add him into the receiving core with Zay Flowers, bro. That shit is dangerous, bro. Baltimore also got another offensive lineman, got a couple offensive linemen. Yeah, Baltimore's different. Baltimore feels different. You're like, these motherfuckers got better. Like, you just sit there like they were the number one seed last year. They got extremely better. Like, it's just, oh my God, yo, that's scary, man. That's some scary shit. Teams I really like that immediately fix their team. Oh, by the way, another team, Detroit. I fucking love Detroit's draft. I know a lot of people sit there and think Detroit's draft was up and down, which it kind of was. But for what the value you got, that's another one. Tarion Arnold, you got one of the best cornerbacks also in the draft, which is another thing about this team. You needed secondary help, and you got it. Tarion Arnold is going to come in and help immediately. You also got the fourth best cornerback, probably in the, like, maybe six, seven, eight best cornerback in the draft, the kid from Missouri. He now is also joining your secondary, which was a pick in the second round that a lot of teams also just let fall to the second fucking round. You got another offensive lineman to also booster up that amazing offensive line that you already have. You got a kid from the running back from Utah. Yo, Detroit is scary, bro. Like, Detroit is one of my. I've already said this. I got Detroit going to the Super Bowl this year. I'm not even going to sit there and play around with this shit. Detroit's going to the Super Bowl this year. I actually thought they also should have drafted a bit of a pass rusher, but they got a defensive tackle also that kind of also helps them boost that lineup a little bit, the defensive lineup a little bit, help them with the pass, with the what they have. Yeah, man. Detroit's scary. Now let's get into the teams. I think it definitely helped out their team fast. I love Washington's draft. I actually love the Washington Commanders draft. Jayden Daniels, this is the number two overall pick, which you kind of was obvious he's going to number two. But then you draft the kid from Illinois, the defensive tackle, Johnny Newton. You draft him from Illinois. Amazing deal. You get the amazing cornerback slash amazing cornerback slash kind of like he could be the tweener corner slash linebacker from Michigan. You get some offensive line help. Like, I like the Washington draft. Washington's draft was fucking phenomenal, man. I know a lot of people would sit there and be like, man, you like this draft? I love that draft. That draft was phenomenal. If they could get it all together and really piece it out, Washington's gonna be a dangerous team. Maybe not this year, but damn sure next year. With the defensive help you bring in, like I said, a kid, Johnny Newton from Illinois, who is probably to me one of the best defensive tackles coming into the draft. Now you bring him into that defensive lineup, which you also already have Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen. Like, you sit there and like, this fucking shit is ridiculous. I think they also drafted a pass rush. I can't fucking remember. But yeah. I love Arizona's draft. And a lot of people be like, Arizona? Arizona's draft. Really good. You got a running back. That's what you desperately needed. You needed a running back because James Conner can only do so much. But you also bring in Marvin Harrison Jr., bro. I think they also drafted another receiver. Like, yo, Arizona's draft was really good. They got a bunch of offensive linemen, which will boost up that offensive line as fast as they can. I'm starting to become my brother Juan. Lord Jesus. I am very excited because my brother Juan, because he loves offensive linemen. And I am now like, I love offensive linemen, man. You are the influence by the people you are around. But yeah, man, I love the Arizona Cardinals draft. I thought the picks they were making were amazing. It fit what they needed. Another team draft I really like, Green Bay. I know a lot of people like Green Bay's draft is kind of like, a little eerie. But for the players you got Lloyd from USC, the running back, that can kind of do what Josh Jacobs might not be able to do sometimes. You bring him into that team, you get some offensive line help. Guess who they picked in the. I got it. Did they have a first round pick? I think they did have a first round pick. I can't remember who they drafted. But, I love the Green Bay Packers draft. I thought that draft was fucking amazing. It was a really good draft for Green Bay, too. I really fuck with Green Bay's draft. Green Bay's draft was really good. I think they did have a pick. I can't remember who they picked, though. I can't remember who they picked. But, yeah, I love Green Bay's draft. Teams I thought did enough to stay in the conversation, Cincinnati. Cincinnati's draft was very up and down, but I love Mims, the draft pick, the offensive lineman from Georgia. I love them. I think I actually took him to go to. No, I think I did. I took Brian Thomas to go to Cincinnati. But I love that. Speaking of Cincinnati getting receivers, Jermaine Barton, receiver from Alabama. Now you got your slot. Just in case T. Higgins does decide to leave, or you decide to trade him, which I don't think they will anymore. But now you got your slot. He replaces Tyler Boyd. Done deal. You got two tight ends now, which is something I've been saying Cincinnati desperately fucking needed. I like the Cincinnati draft. There's not that many teams I could sit there and say had a really bad draft. One team, a couple teams though, I can sit there and say did have glaring "what the fuck are you doing" drafts. And the number one is this, with a bullet, the Atlanta Falcons. I have been on here and I've said numerous times, if you've ever watched me do this, you know I have said numerous times, Michael Penix Jr. is my number one quarterback. I do not give a fuck how good Caleb Williams is projected to be. Michael Penix Jr. is the best quarterback in this fucking draft. And what the fuck happened? Atlanta took him at number 8. Why? Because you think in 4 to 5 years, you're still going to be a good team, or you're going to be a team that needs a quarterback. And I'm here to tell people, Atlanta fucked their draft up tremendously bad. Atlanta fucked their draft up. It was a terrible draft. You could have literally just took a pass rusher in the first round. Dallas Turner sitting right there. I just said how many cornerbacks fell to the late half of that draft because you just didn't decide. Hell, you could have taken a receiver. Roma Dunza was still on the fucking board. You could have took him from Chicago and helped out Kirk Cousins. No, what you do is replace this motherfucker. You replace the man. You just literally told this man to his face, we're gonna, and I don't give a fuck what the fucking narrative is that you want to push. We're trying to build for the next 4 to 5 years. Hopefully, Michael Penix Jr. doesn't have to be on the court or on the field for 4 to 5 years. You just showed everybody that you are that goddamn gun shy of a quarterback situation to the point where you'd rather draft a replacement when you just paid a man 4 years, $180 million fucking dollars. 100 of those dollars are guaranteed. And you want to sit up here and try to tell us that because you don't know, because you want to make sure that Michael Penix Jr. ends up, that we end, still have a quarterback in 4 years, which, by the way, if your plan is successful, Michael Penix Jr. will be coming into his fourth year. That last year, you will have to still pick up his rookie option. He'd be 29 motherfucking years old, going in maybe to his 30s. Have not played one lick of football in 4 to 5 years. and you expect them to jump on the field and pick it up for somebody who does have injury concerns. Atlanta's draft was fucking stupid. From the very first fucking pick, it just didn't make any fucking sense. And the rest of the draft went the fuck along with it. You took a defensive tackle, which you didn't even have to get because Johnny Newton was still on the board. Like, this is the crazy part. Johnny Newton was still on the board. Washington didn't take him to like the second, like until after Atlanta. So you kind of took him. He was right there. And you didn't even take him. Like, it was just like, what the fuck are you? You took a Clemson defensive tackle that may fit your defense, may not fit it. You get another defensive tackle that may fit your defense, may not fit it. You get a pass rusher, may fit your defense, may not fit the defense. And they're just sitting there like, what the fuck is this draft? Like, Atlanta's draft is so motherfucking confusing. I'm sorry. You cannot sit up there and try. Great pick. Wrong fucking team. I don't give a fuck what people want to run with the narrative. A great fucking pick. Wrong fucking team. Like, Atlanta could lie to themselves as much as they want. That was the dumbest fucking decision they made in some years. And let my brother Juan tell you, they have made some stupid ass decisions. Some stupid ass decisions. But that's a. This shit better play out the way they want it to play out. Because if it doesn't, if it fucking doesn't by next year, not this year, next year, people are going to be calling for Kirk Cousins' job. And Michael Penix Jr. is going to be sitting there. And you have no idea how fucking stupid you look after that. The second team on my board that I feel like was just, I don't get the draft, is the New York Giants. Again, great selection at six, Malik Nabers. But after that, you started to build defense, which is great. But it feels like you drafted players. Outside of Malik Nabers, it felt like you drafted players that will impact your team next year, like in 2025. And if that's what you were going for, then cool. But what does that say about 2024? And to me, that tells me you all have already said we don't believe that you guys are going to be good enough, which may you may end up in the fifth selection. You may end up in the top five of draft picks this upcoming season. Because I still don't trust Daniel Jones. And you cannot sit up here and tell me that Daniel Jones is to be trusted. Because he's not. I'm sorry, he's not. He's not. And the Giants, I feel like, screwed themselves superiorly with this draft. Another team draft, I just head scratch it. Cleveland. I did not like Cleveland's draft. I think Cleveland's draft was kind of like ass backwards. You got the kid from Ohio State, the defensive tackle, with your first pick. Great. You drafted no running back, so I'm assuming you still believe Ford could get it done for you as a running back. You got a receiver, which I kind of felt like you needed. But the rest of that draft was just so like, what the fuck? Like, I know you need to also offensive lineman because your offensive lineman last year were kind of up and down. But you got no running back. I don't know the status on Nick Chubb. I'm assuming he's coming back. I guess you guys feel like he can come back. But if not, you're gonna run it with Ford, and that's a slippery slope. I'm sorry, that's just a very slippery slope. Yeah, I did not like Cleveland's draft. I think Cleveland's draft is kind of like ass backwards. Who's another draft I didn't really care too much for? Oh, Minnesota's. Minnesota's draft was outside of, I love the Dallas Turner pick, which was great value at 17 because Everybody had him going at number fucking eight on the draft board except Atlanta. Fucking Jesus. Yo, everybody had Dallas Turner going to Atlanta except Atlanta. Like, it's this shit is so fucking stupid. Oh my God, yo, that was so stupid. Oh man, that's the dumbest fucking draft. Oh my God. But Dallas Turner falls to 17. What in what world, man? Like, come on, bro. Minnesota got him at 17, traded up with the Jaguars to get him at 17. Great pick. The rest of them picks, I feel like you over. I really do believe, out of all of the quarterbacks taken in the first round, outside of Michael Penix Jr., because he's clearly not going to play this season, or he may, I don't know, but let's say he isn't. Outside of Michael Penix Jr., because he's actually going to have to sit. Denver, Chicago, Washington, and Minnesota. In New England. So it's five. Minnesota's got the worst position. Minnesota's got the worst quarterback. I do not value J.J. McCarthy, which a lot of people are now saying. The funniest part is Minnesota wanted Drake May and couldn't get him. So they just settled for J.J. McCarthy. That's the way this man is going to look at his career. You settled for me. And that's exactly the way it is. Yes, they settled for you, my brother. They did not want you. They wanted Drake May, and they couldn't get him. So they were like, fuck it. We might as well just take him. They even tried to get Justin Herbert from the Chargers. Like, that's how much these motherfuckers did not want you. They were trying to get the third pick. They were trying to get the third pick, or they were trying to get Justin Herbert. And they got to the point where it was just like, we're not going to get either of these guys. We might as well just settle for J.J. McCarthy. And that's exactly how this is going to look on when it's all said and done, is they settle for you, bro. We still don't know what Justin Jefferson is. I'm assuming they told him, like, yo, we're going to go for this quarterback. But off of that one selection alone is why I feel like Minnesota's draft is kind of like, oh, that's bad. Because when you hear somebody say they settled for a quarterback, that usually does not end well for any of us. Like, it doesn't end well for anybody. And for me right now, man, that's a bad thing to hear for a quarterback, is that you got settled for. That's a bad thing. So, yeah, Minnesota, I didn't like that draft because of that pick alone, because it felt like you just forced it. And if you don't think the quarterback situation is good and you didn't really like J.J. McCarthy like that, then you shouldn't have selected him just because you need a quarterback. At the end of the day, as much as I clown Sam Darnold, you should have just sucked this year. Should have just let the season play out, sucked this year. I'm not saying the quarterbacks next year are going to be great, but at least you would have got a quarterback. Would have had a whole year of evaluation on a quarterback. Maybe the kid out of Texas, maybe the kid from Alabama, maybe the kid from maybe the kid that Ward that transferred to Miami. You would have at least DJ, the kid from Oregon State, the quarterback from Oregon State. You had so many other options. You could have just. I know next year's draft is gonna Casey Beck, from Georgia. You had so many other options that you just chose to just take a quarterback that you settled for. That's not a good thing. I don't like. That's a terrible thing to set for a team. Like Minnesota that's trying to be better. So yeah, that was yeah, I don't like that. That's a bad situation. Oh no, the NFL draft was great. I loved it very much. So the NBA playoffs. The NBA playoffs are now getting to a really cool con. We're about to start getting into the second round, pretty much. We get a cool conclusion. We're getting into the second round. So far, I want to say three teams have advanced, all in the Western Conference, which I kind of said was going to happen. OKC, Minnesota, and Denver. They all have officially moved on to the next round. The only series that's still going, I thought it would actually end, but it's actually going a little farther than I thought, and that's the Clippers and the Mavs. They play tonight, game five tonight in LA. And in the Eastern Conference, Boston's trying to close out right now, and they up 16 on to Miami, so they probably are going to close out tonight. Cleveland's up 3-2. They beat Orlando last night, 3-2. That's a really good fucking series. I need to check that series out. That's a really good fucking series. Indiana and New York both had chances last night to close out their series, and both completely failed. completely fucking failed. New York more so than Indiana. Indiana just never had a chance. They pretty much just let Milwaukee beat them, which was stupid on your home court. You don't know it was actually in Milwaukee, so Milwaukee actually beat them in Milwaukee. So I'm assuming they feel like they could do it at home, but you never want to give a Milwaukee any breather. Like Chris Middleton is the only real shooter on the court. Like close this shit out. Stop playing with them. New York had a chance to actually close out at home too, and they just let Philly win. Well, I don't want to say let Philly win. That's a little crazy to say. But they definitely had a chance to close it out and just, I hate to say it, but the pressure, I think, got to New York last night. I think it was like, damn, we really have a chance. And they just started doing stupid shit in that game. Really, real stupid shit. I think they get it together in Philly, but I think Philly kind of beats that ass in game six. I'm not even gonna lie. I actually think that is more of a reprimandum on how crazy that game should have, because it should have ended. That series should be over. But they let Philly win. I don't say let, but they let Philly kind of come back and just get the momentum. It was bad. It was a bad thing to do. Because once you got your enemies down, keep them down. You're up six with like 42 seconds left. Put your fucking foot on their necks. Never let them up. But anyway, so the talk has been for the last couple of days have been Phoenix and the Lakers. Both teams got swept in the first. Well, Lakers actually won, went to five, but Phoenix got swept. They're the first team out the playoffs. What do I feel about this? I literally said Phoenix was never gonna be good this year. I told everybody this. I'm not surprised at all. I actually said I think I said I thought I said I think Minnesota's gonna beat them. Because I said Anthony Edwards is a different dude. I said that. I said Anthony Edwards is different. I said Anthony Edwards is different. I said they're gonna probably beat Phoenix if they play the way they need to. I'm not surprised Phoenix got swept. Not even in the slightest. Not even in the slightest. I expected it. I expect Phoenix to lose. The question is now is, what do you do with Phoenix? Blow it up. I personally think you should give them another year, but we live in a world right now where there's no time to give people years. You got to win and win and win and win now. Me personally, I never felt like Frank Vogel was the coach for Phoenix. I'm like, all that shit y'all keep saying he's about to bring in for them, he will never bring in for them. I didn't buy into Frank Vogel. Frank Vogel was, fuck it. He was gifted a championship in 2020 by the Los Angeles Lakers. Let's not act like LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and all those dudes, and have 3 months fucking off because of the pandemic. Frank Vogel is a cool head coach. He's decent. When he was in Indiana, he was a good head coach. When he was in Orlando, he was a good head coach. When he went to LA, now he's got this ring, and now people think he's a great head coach. No, he's okay. He's always been okay. He's always been decent, good enough, but never great to get your team to over the threshold. And that's pretty much what he is. I hate to say it, but it's the fucking truth. Bradley Beal just didn't show up. Point blank, period. Now you're questioning Bradley Beal's ability to actually be the guy. And this is one of the reasons why I say if I'm Phoenix, I probably keep the team together because I feel like Bradley Beal's gonna hear all of this chatter over the summer. I think he's on Team USA, I can't remember. But he's gonna hear all that chatter and he's gonna be like, yo, I gotta be in a gym. I gotta get back to the lab. I gotta get my shit right. It all depends on Kevin Durant, and that's the key. It all depends on Kevin Durant. If Kevin Durant wants to stay in Phoenix, which is something his ass clearly all once they lose, he wants the boat. I love Kevin Durant as a player, but it's the fucking truth. When the truth is there, it's the truth. When you see something, you bolt. You get the fuck out of it. You were hearing rumors about him trying to leave Phoenix earlier this year. It was like, I don't like how this team is structured. I want out. It's shit like that that make people say Kevin Durant can never be a great, because you are trying to literally, when shit goes wrong, you want to leave. And I heard today people was like, oh, he should go to New York. For fucking what reason? He needs to first make it work at a team, a franchise, before I ever trust that nigga to come to my fucking organization. Fuck out of here. But yeah, I can't give Kevin Durant that, man. I'm sorry. Like, I love Kevin Durant. Shout out to Kevin Durant. But I can't give Kevin Durant this idea that he's still the guy. I will blow Phoenix up. Actually, I would keep them together. I'm lying. I keep them together. I give them together one more year, but then I would structure this team that actually helps this team. I would fire Frank Vogel. I would get rid of him, though. Get his ass the fuck out the building. I would fire Frank Vogel, but keep the players because you can't move them. The one player I will want is Devin Booker, and that's it. I don't want Kevin Durant. I don't want Bradley Beal. I want Devin Booker. That's the only player that I can actually work with, and I know he's going to come in and be fucking motivated and fucking focused. Kevin Durant has got some other shit on going on. And Bradley Beal might be hitting that point in his career where he might not live up to the hype anymore. I just keep the team together and then restructure it around them and get rid of Frank Vogel. Now the Lakers, on the other hand. I will blow that shit the fuck up. And I will keep Darvin Ham as the head coach. Because I am getting tired of people sitting up here and trying to blame Darvin Ham for what the fuck Rob Pelinka keep giving him. That is not Darvin Ham's fault. Rob Pelinka has structured this team fucking terribly. Every fucking year, this team looks like this. And I don't want to hear this shit about how Darvin Ham can't coach. No, Rob Pelinka can't fucking manage. That nigga suck at managing. He's a terrible fucking general manager. And I get it. I get it. You're trying to give him some leeway because of his relationship with the late great Kobe Bryant. Rest in peace. And happy birthday to the late great Gigi. But I'm sorry, like I'm not about to give this dude a pass because you're trying to live off the Kobe Bryant legacy, bro. You didn't do shit. You're a former manager former manager. You know a bunch of players. But I'm looking at New York, and New York has figured it out. How the fuck does the Knicks, figure it out before the fucking Lakers? That is crazy to me. That is nuts. I'm so, what the fuck? Are you serious? I'll fire Rob Pelinka. I'll fire Rob Pelinka. And I would fucking let LeBron James fucking walk. I would let him walk and Anthony Davis. I'd get both of the asses off my team. You cannot sit up here and tell me you're going to give LeBron James a 3-year extension when he's about to turn 39, what, 40 this upcoming year? And you want to sit up there and tell me, are we going to keep LeBron for 3 more years? For fucking what reason? Now you're also talking about drafting Bronny? What? What? I would let LeBron fucking walk. I would try to see if I could trade Anthony Davis. And I will rebuild this whole fucking team with Darvin Ham as the head coach, because I want to see his vision for this team without LeBron, without Anthony Davis, without having to capitulate to two big ass stars that, for one, is still doing great things, but the other one shows up when he needs, which shows up when he wants to. I ain't got time for that shit. The Lakers are now a play-in first round exit team for the next couple of years. As long as LeBron and Anthony Davis on that team, I don't give a fuck what nobody say. And that has nothing to do with Darvin Ham, because he can only do so fucking much because of Rob Pelinka. Fuck out of here. Let's bring him to the last thing. So Jake Paul and Mike Tyson are going to fight. And it was sanctioned now as a professional boxing match. And it will be 8 rounds, 2 minutes a round. It will count towards their professional records. I don't give a fuck about this fight, I'm gonna be honest. It'd be great to see Mike Tyson in the ring again. But then again, you got to realize it's Mike Tyson and he's like 55. It's not like you're about to get 30-year-old Mike Tyson or even 22-year-old Mike Tyson. You're getting 55-year-old Mike Tyson. And as great as he has looked in the training videos I've seen, eventually a bell is going to ring. And if Jake Paul could just use his youth, because he doesn't have experience, but if he use, and here's another thing. This is the reason why I think that the match has become actual professional boxing match, because they want to count it towards Jake Paul record so he can sit there and say, I beat Mike Tyson. But you didn't beat Mike Tyson. You beat Mike Tyson name wise, but you didn't beat Mike Tyson prime wise. You didn't beat Iron Mike. You beat old Mike. Elderly Mike. Like elderly Mike. And you're gonna try to sit there and run with that narrative. Like, I beat Iron Mike Tyson. You did not beat Iron Mike Tyson. You beat elderly Mike Tyson. Congratulations. I'm happy for you, kid. But when you've stepped in the ring with a fighter that's of your age and your height and your weight and your length, you got your ass whooped by a Fury. And it ain't even the best one. Bro. Like, I just feel like this is the situation at hand, and I just and Bleacher Report just said Suns governor owner has now said that he's not blowing up this team, which I just said, which I wouldn't blow up the team, but I would fire the head coach because Frank Vogel just is not the guy. But I would keep those three pieces because who the fuck don't want them? Outside of Devin Booker, I don't want Kevin Durant. I don't want Bradley Beal. I want Devin Booker. And I know you're not gonna trade them. So keep them niggas. Like, fucking want the people. But Jake Paul is gonna run with this narrative that he beat Iron Mike Tyson. Even if he knocks him down, that's the narrative he's gonna run with. But again, you're fighting Mike Tyson, the name Mike Tyson, the person Mike Tyson. But you're not fighting prime Mike Tyson. You're not fighting Iron Mike Tyson. You're not fighting 18-year-old Mike Tyson when he first came out the Olympics, knocking motherfuckers out left and motherfucking right. You ain't even fighting the motherfucker that came out of jail. You're fighting a 55-year-old elderly man. I'm not about to sit up here and give you some top-tier record because you didn't fight anyone. You didn't fight anyone. You still haven't fought anyone. Get in that ring and fight somebody, and then we can have a real conversation. Until then, you ain't shit. You still ain't a fucking boxer in my eyes. Yeah, you got all the skills, but hey, nigga, even a trained fighter could beat the fuck out of a kid that don't, a motherfucker that don't know how to fucking fight. You ain't never seen an MMA fighter beat the shit out of a drunk dude? Come on, bro. And Mike Tyson's great. It's Mike fucking Tyson. So Mike Tyson always got a chance to fuck some shit up. But at the same time, it's Mike Tyson. He's 55 fucking years old. What the fuck do I expect him to really do in an 8 minute fucking match? Come on. 8 round fucking match. Like, it's, come on, bro. No. But that's the narrative you want to run. You want to run out here and say, I beat Mike Tyson. That's why they're trying to count it towards your record. But I'm going to be the one that's still going to be on this podcast and I'm going to say, yeah, you won. But it ain't like you beat prime Mike Tyson. And like you fought an actual prime boxer in your career yet. And until you do, and even when you did, you lost. So when you do decide to fight an actual prime boxer in their career, then holler at me. Until then, all this shit is fucking dress up. It's cosplay. You give a fuck, you pretending to be a boxer, my brother. With all of the same effects. But this, to me, this shit might as well be CGI. This shit might as well be AI. Because all I see is a motherfucker trying to be something. But yeah, he ain't there yet. This motherfucker's Pinocchio. Motherfucker's Pinocchio, bro. He's Pinocchio to the boxing world. He's just trying to be a real boy. But he ain't got it yet. That's just how I look at it. If Mike wins, great. If Jake Paul wins, great. But at the end of the day, what the fuck does that settle? Jake Paul still ain't getting in the ring with an actual real boxer in his prime if he wins. And if Mike Tyson beats him, you fought Mike Tyson, who probably was a little bit more engaged than we thought he would be. So that's why I say the first two rounds are the most deadliest rounds for Jake Paul. If you get in there and Mike Tyson starts fucking you up, you're getting knocked out in the first two rounds. If you can surpass the first two rounds, three rounds, you're gonna probably win the fight off of points. Anyway. Man. I had fun with this episode. Rest in peace to Gigi Bryant. Yeah, she would have turned 18 years old. That's damn, bro. 18. Yeah, man, that day was dark. Oh man, I remember that day. I remember that day. Oh man. Yeah, I still remember that day. Yeah, that was right before the pandemic. That's how we knew 2020 was some fuck shit. But yeah, man. Until next time, man. This is the Brandon Janu Show. This is I Bleed Sports. I hope you guys enjoy this. Peace.